kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I've got a title here, Strengthened in Faith. Strengthened in Faith. And I want to give us a talk today about faith and our walk of faith. And I trust it will be an encouragement to us all. And I've been meditating and reading in the book of Romans just recently, and I was looking at chapter 4 and verses 19 to 25 really got my attention, and I felt the Lord wanted me to share and talk on this. So we're looking at Romans chapter 4 verses 19 to 25, and we're calling this teaching Strengthen in Faith, strengthened in faith. And it says this, and not being weak in faith, that's talking of Abraham, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. And so it goes on. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raising up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offences and was raised because of our justification. Strengthened in him. It's interesting as we read those few verses, and I'm sure we have read them many times, but faith has to be strengthened. And no finer way than our faith being strengthened is that we walk each day by faith for that very purpose, to make our faith stronger. And as we look at these verses, we see why this is important. For example, when we look back at verse 19, and he says, not being weak in faith. So he's been walking with God. God has called him and his family out into a walk of faith, not knowing where they're going. And as they continue to walk with God, so God meets with them and he reveals more and more of his will to them. And as he builds an altar of worship and praise to God, so God reveals more of his faith walk for the purpose of not being weak in the faith. And it says he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Can we not see that when you walk by faith, trusting God, things don't die so easily. Things don't age so easily. This is why we confess that he renews our youth like the eagles. And even in our old age, he still uses us and can use us. And it says quite clearly here that Abraham is 100 years old, but he didn't consider his own body already dead. He was not considering the fact that he's 100 years old. He's going to be a father. He's not considering it. Do you know why? Because he's not weak in faith. He is so influenced by Almighty God. And remember, he didn't have 66 books to read all these promises like we have. He was walking in relationship with God. God is revealing his faithfulness to him. And as a result of it, he's not weak in faith. And none of us in FGA who have been listening to the faith teaching over all these years, we should not be weak in the faith. And if we are, then we have to earnestly seek God as to where things are going wrong with what God is blessing us through the faith, through these promises. And if God did the same with Abraham, he does the same with us, because we are by faith of the seed of Abraham. And he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And not only that, but the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he was not only considering himself as not 100, but also his wife. They are seeing in the realm of faith. They are not looking to circumstances. And why? Because the title of this teaching tells us we have to be strengthened in faith. And that is why we walk each day by faith, because that is where our strengthening comes. And not only that, but as we see from verse 9, that faith has to be in an impossible situation for us to get this strength, to be convinced. This is why God places us in impossible situations. Mountains in the way. Rivers, valleys in the way. The devil, demons in the way. All of that is for the purpose to strengthen our faith. Remember next time when you are confronted with what outwardly looks impossible, think to yourself, these are the very conditions my faith requires and needs. This is where God gives me a strong faith. As it says in verse 19, he was not weak in the faith. He knew he wasn't weak in the faith. He knew God was getting to his faith. And we know the same. This is why we have so much teaching about faith, because God is getting to our faith for the purpose to strengthen our faith so that we know it. Isn't it sad that the devil too often knows that our faith is getting stronger and stronger and we don't know it? Why? Because we're listening to him instead of listening to what God is saying, what he's saying to us through the word or through the preaching and teaching of the word. And this is why, of course, he attacks us in the area of faith. At times he sees more than what we see, because we can be so silly. We're still looking at the mountains. We're still looking at the fact that it's impossible, or I'm not sure whether God is really faithful or not. We're still considering those things. And yet we see very clearly that here, he's not considering the fact he's 100 years old, and he's also not considering the fact that his wife is old, that she's past bearing, having a son, because God has promised he's going to have a son. He's got to have an heir. He knows this. Okay, he made some mistakes on the way. He listened to his wife, Sarah, and took his maid. Hence Ishmael came. But the fact is, God had decreed what he was going to do, and God was going to fulfill it through him. And he's strengthening his faith. So we can take comfort that at times when we miss it in faith, or we hinder the faith, God is still bigger, and he's still going to fulfill and complete that task, that course that he has for us. And what is that task? What is that course? We're called as overcomers, first fruits to the Lord. That's the vision of the deeper life. And whatever you think about it, or wherever you may slip up, God is still going to accomplish that which he hath begun in us. And so we can draw these parallels, can we not? And this is why Abraham and his family, they moved into an impossible situation. They're moving and walking by faith. God has promised them the promised land. They're going to enter into Palestine. That's the covenant that God is making with them. And they're on a journey. He heard God speak, "Come out and walk with me." And on that he trusted God. Many times we don't need long dialogues with the Lord. Sometimes it's just one or two words that all we need to hear, and that is it, that is enough. And God has called us the same. Come, walk with me. And that's what we're doing. Each day we are walking with Almighty God. And yes, we are faced with impossible situations. You see, his journey and walk of faith wasn't only preserving him, but revealing his need. Revealing that he has need of a son, an heir. And God said, "I will give you a son. I will give you an heir." And he better not look at how old he is, and he certainly better not look at Sarah. But all he could hear was what God had promised. You see, faith, I'd never seen this quite like this, but this is what I believe the Lord gave me. Faith and the promises of God create the need in us in which to ask. Faith and the promises create the needs in which to ask. Why? Because we're on a journey. And that journey has all sorts of experiences, all tests and trials. And the journey that we're on causes us not only to believe in these promises, but to call out by faith to God. And so the trials that we go through, the journey that we're on, creates those needs to believe and to ask in faith, not wavering. And that's why when we can see it like that, we can count it all joy when we go through the various trials and temptations and all the things that we go through. It's all working for us through these needs to call out in faith on God. Why? Because God wants to strengthen our faith. And there is nothing like trials and tribulations to strengthen our faith. You need it. And we won't start arguing and falling out with God all the time. When we begin to see, I have to go through this. This trial is needed because God is strengthening my faith in this trial. That's why. And you'll eventually come to that place where you won't question any longer. What does it say in verse 20? He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So although he's getting older outwardly, his wife is past childbearing, it says he didn't waver. The very impossible situation and circumstances strengthened him to the point of not wavering. Are you going through a trial at the moment? The trial of your faith? Yes, most of you are. And what is it for? It is to strengthen you so that you do not waver, but that you look to the promise that God is faithful. That's what it's for. It's to strengthen us. And Abraham, he doesn't waver at the promise. Are we wavering over these promises? Can we read every promise in this word, God's word, and not waver over it, not question it, or think twice? If we still are, there's a work God is still doing with us, particularly in the area of healing. But not only that, we need to look at the power of these promises. These promises are not just something you read. There is a power behind each of these promises. A power that is beyond you or me. A power that is greater even than the devil himself, who tries to challenge these promises. This power, the promises, the power behind these promises is the power of God, who spoke them into being. Let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So these promises and what God has promised are so that we partake of his divine nature. Because you can't separate God from his promises. His promises that we read, we confess, we believe upon is him. It is his word. You can't separate it. And that's what Peter is saying here. He's given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may partake of the promise. And who is the promise? Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you would be a partaker of his divine nature. What for? So that you escape the corruption that is in the world through lusts. So these promises, walking by faith, is a deliverance to deliver us from the world, its lusts, its ways, its belief, and the things that the world relies on. Can you not see why God is separating us from relying on this world? It is a hindrance to our faith. And he's going to do it, brothers and sisters. So look at the power in these promises that God has made. And this is why he wants you to be strengthened in faith. And the trials enable you to be strengthened in order to be convinced, influenced by these promises, not to doubt. Well, let's go back to Romans 4 and verse 21. And being fully convinced that he has promised, he was also able to perform. So we see two things here. He says, it not only convince me, or we do, man can do a lot of convincing. We can do a lot of talking, a lot of convincing. It can sound very convincing, but the question is, do you do that which you convince? Or is it just words? And it's got two things here. He's not only convinced, but he's also able to perform. So in other words, these promises, which are convincing, which they should be, but it doesn't stop there. It's not enough. You've got to be convinced, yes, but you've got to experience it to see that God will perform it. In other words, act upon it. And this is the test, isn't it? Now, this word convince means, in other words, to be persuaded. And what does this mean in the Greek? Well, it means to carry it through to the end, which is exactly what God does. Or, in another word, to be shown in its fullness and completion. And that is the evidence of God's word. The signs of faith is believing in that and not wavering. For example, we're told, aren't we, in Romans 15 and verse 13, Romans 15 and verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So note what the apostle is saying here. He says, now may the God of hope or faith fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And that is what believing faith should do. It should minister that joy, that peace in believing. This is why we get such a joy, such a blessing, a buzz, if you like, when we get a good faith teaching. Because that is exactly what it's doing. It's placing a joy and a peace. Because that is my experience in believing these promises. What for? That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this joy and peace in believing faith, the promises of God, is for the purpose that I may endure, abound in other words, I stay with it for the purpose to experience the power of God in my life. And Abraham is about to experience the power of God in his old age, including Sarah, to have that son Isaac. And God is doing exactly the same with you. Whatever your needs are, if you're going through a physical trial or a mental trial or whatever it would be, God is preserving you in which to believe these promises, to be blessed by these promises, so the power of God can manifest it through you. And that's why we can confidently say that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed at Calvary. He renews my youth like the eagles. And all these other promises that he gives us. Oh, brothers and sisters, we can't go wrong with this. We just listen too much to the devil's lies and deceptions. That's our problem. And that's why you have to get away from people at times. You've got to get away from your families. Don't listen too much to them. They can be the biggest hindrance to steal our faith, our joy, our blessing that we should have in these promises. Oh, they mean well, but they can be a hindrance. Trust me. And so it then goes on back in Romans 4, and he says in verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So his faith, his faith in believing that even though he's 100, doesn't matter, he's not looking at it, he's still going to become a father. All of this makes him right before God. Did you know that the faith teaching, the deeper life, makes you right before your Heavenly Father? Which we do through Jesus Christ. This is what he wants. This is what pleases our Father's heart, to believe on these promises. Whatever the circumstances, whatever it looks like, whatever they're saying. And doesn't the powers of darkness become very vocal when you take a step of faith? It really does. And God says, that's right in my eyes. This is why he received his son into glory, because his son believed that God his Father would raise him from the dead. There was Jesus's faith. That was right in God's eyes. And your believing in these promises makes you right before God. He imputes that righteousness because it is right in God's eyes. So when we see the promises of God, we confess these promises, we believe them, we act upon them, that makes it right before God, and it makes you right. And not only that, but he says he empowers us, baptizes us in the Spirit in order which to do it. So he's helping us. And this is why, of course, Abraham and his family were right in God's eyes, justified, born again. You will not enter heaven unless you believe God. This is why faith is so important. It really is. And he was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, it was imputed, given to him. He had a right standing. God decreed, God said, this man stands right in my presence. And you have to stand right in God's presence, as we don't make it into the kingdom of God. And that is why we make so much of these promises. Because we are walking like Abraham walked. But we're now under a new covenant. And we have Jesus Christ who ministers all of this through the blessed comfort of the Holy Spirit. But this is how we're saved, brothers and sisters. And it's a relationship and it's obedience. And that's why faith is real, because Jesus is real. And even in the Old Testament, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But they still had to be, they still had to walk by faith, in which it was imputed to them for righteousness. You see, imputation is based on our believing. Believing on what? Upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe on him, you believe on his word and his promises, you see. It's always based on our believing. It's believing as he is. It's not trying to change him. It's not trying to change the word because I'm having a problem believing it. It's receiving him, accepting him as he reveals himself in his word. And on the basis of that, his righteousness is imputed to us. And God sees us right through his son, Jesus Christ. And also, this idea of imputation means that we're actually possessed by God. This is why God comes into our life. We're made a new creation. He's actually possessed us, taken us over, because we've given him permission. We've confessed our sins that separate us from the love of God. And so this experience that comes into our life is what we call yielding to the Spirit, which is the deeper life. Instead of fighting God, resisting God, we yield over to him. That's what it means. And we know God doesn't give us any peace until we finally yield and we bow the knee. And I thank God he doesn't give us any peace. That's a sign of his love. And that's why we can confidently say that there's no unbelief, there's no fear, there's no confusion, there's no bondage with God. And we have no time for it. We don't entertain it because it's not with God. That is not him. That is not his nature. And yet the enemy wants to hold us in all that bondage. Ah, but, well, you know there's some others. They confessed, didn't they? They confessed that they were healed by Jesus' stripes and they made all the right confessions and everything. And yes, look what happened. Oh, that's exactly what the devil wants you to look at. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people confessing do die. It doesn't change what God says. Even the Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." You can't go wrong because you're going to be eternally in glory with the Lord. But we know that God is preserving and keeping us in these last days. And so, like Abraham and all the saints of old, they had to be strengthened in faith. And the way that God does this is through the trials and the testings and the delays. And that is where your faith is strengthened, so that you are persuaded, you are convinced, you don't doubt. That is what I want. That's what I've confessed before God. Lord, I want a faith that doesn't doubt, is persuaded, influenced. You've said it, I read it, settles it. Not debatable. Doesn't matter what the enemy's saying. Doesn't matter what anyone else is saying. That is what you've said. That's what we need to be influenced and convinced by. But we still talk with others. We still listen to others. And the enemy becomes so vocal and so logical and so on. This is why we have to guard our minds. And this is why it tells us in Romans, the same book that he wrote here, put on the mind of Christ. You need that because that is where the attacks come. In that mind. And a lot of Christians are defeated with the mind because they've never allowed the Holy Spirit to do that deliverance with their mind. But there's nothing finer to deliver your mind than to preach and teach the promises of God's word and to walk by faith. That is a great deliverance on your mind. But sadly, many of our brothers and sisters, they're still gripped and held in fear and unbelief in the mind. You see, what is the point of reading these promises, reading God's word, if you cannot see yourself entering into the experiences of the word and promises that God makes? What is the point? When you read these promises, I too can experience that. What I read there, God has given to me through Jesus Christ. Am I going to throw it away because a few others have had a problem with it? No, not at all. Something within you, your faith says, Lord, I believe this promise. And I'm going to believe this promise and glorify your name through this promise. That's what God wants to hear. And that's why the gospel's going out to the highways and the byways. That's why Israel missed it. Because God said, anyone who wants to believe, anyone who's just going to trust me, here it is. It's for you. Isn't that wonderful, you see? Because those who should believe, those whom God has given the revelation of all of this, are the ones who often reject it, argue with it, turn away from it. And our Father's had enough of that. He's going to find anyone, doesn't matter who they are, their background, their creed, their education, whatever country they're from, if they want to believe these promises and enter into them and walk in these promises, God's going to move heaven and earth. And indeed he does. That is why we hear that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we need to pray for those laborers, that they preach and teach faith, to believe in these promises. That is the laborers that God wants. Not filling their head with a load of theology all the time. We've got too much of that around today. The house of God has got to be challenged again to believe and to walk by faith. And this, of course, is why you've got people like Abraham there. Classic examples teaching us that the same God that blessed him is the same God that'll do the same today. And don't look at your circumstances. Don't look that you're getting older. Don't look at any of that. Just confess what God says over you. I'm having to do it. Everything in the natural says you're getting too old for this. But I refuse to believe that. I believe the power of God in my life, renewing my youth like the eagles. Because none of this bondage is in my Heavenly Father. None of this is in Jesus. He is perfect, risen, glorified. He's the one who lives in us. He's not imperfect. He's perfect. Just believe. How is he going to do it? I haven't a clue. It's not for me to work out. None of these promises that God has made is for me to work out. Now, for some, that's difficult because we're trying to work out how God is going to do it, or when is he going to heal me, or when is those finances going to be manifest, or whatever it will be. That is not our concern. All he ever asks us to do is to believe on them, and he will do the rest. And he does. That is the faith, brothers and sisters, we've got to come to. So, as I finish with this, strengthened in faith. That's what he's doing. I believe that's what he's doing with us in FGA. And I trust other places where God is working. But if anything I'm seeing as your pastor, he's really now beginning to strengthen our faith for the purpose that we are convinced, we are influenced. We don't have to keep running for answers and questions and why and when and, oh, what's happened now and so on. He's strengthening us for that very thing. And how does he do that? In the trials and the tests. That's how he does it. And therefore, with that, we can count it all joy in the trials and tests that we go through because he's strengthening my faith in it. Hallelujah. Father, again, we want to thank you, Lord, for exhorting us today in the word. Oh, Father, there is just something that is so quickening in the spirit when you encourage us to believe upon your promises, and you are faithful. Lord, I pray that we each of us will really glean from this word, that it will go from the head to the heart. And Lord, we above all desire this for each of us because it's for your glory. It's what you have done for us. And so, Lord, bless, preserve, keep each one of us until we assemble again. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Jesus.